I said something erroneous in the last minute's announcement, and it got accurately recorded in the minutes, but it's wrong. Do I correct that during the minutes?
No, you correct it when we go over this. Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, members of the audience. Today is Thursday, June 2nd, 2016, the regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board, City of Morro Bay. Thank you and welcome. We have a quorum. Everyone is present, duly noted. And right now I'd like to have a moment of silence. Bow your heads. And Ron, can you lead us with the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ron. So at this time, we usually come back and have announcements from the members. Jean, do you have anything to show and tell or discuss?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Once again, I have show and tell. There's been in the bay this time of year, you get this algae, and it just comes up in rafts. It's kind of like a green beard sort of thing there. It can get really big. It can get as big as an acre in size. Just it rafts up and it clogs everything up, and just what we see on the bay this time of year. It grows in big patches out in the mudflats in the back. So I'm sure Neil sees lots of it. So. And our sponges is getting more prolific. Our walking bearded brown sponge, and it's chasing people around now. Well, not quite. Okay, that's my show and tell.
So, Gene, in your experience, will that algae growth continue all the way through the summer, proliferating all the way through the summer?
Yeah, up until about July, then it starts dying off, I think. Then we have the breaking up of the eelgrass, where we used to, where it would clog up the bay, but not as much eelgrass anymore.
Does this stuff clog up intakes of?
Oh, sure. It'll raft up, and I've seen it sink skiffs. It'll raft up around the ball, a mooring ball, and as you keep climbing up the rope, and if there's a skiff tied to it, it'll fill up in the skiff and sink the skiff. I've seen dogs walking on the stuff. It can get pretty thick. So it's all part of nature.
Wow. Alan, you have any announcements?
No.
Lynn?
I
have one announcement. I wanted to thank the city for inviting myself and another member of our Harbor Advisory Board, Ron, to do a tour of the dredger that was here, the Iguana, last Friday. It's very informative, and I was quite impressed about our tax dollars at work and how hard they do work. And I was thankful to go and look at it, and we were able to get an opportunity to see them vacuum up the sand silt and then go off the near shore and actually dump it. So it was quite a operation, and it's quite a ship. Believe it or not, I believe there is only 7 ships, 4 shallow haul and then 3, Ron?
1 shallow. And 3 not shallow in the Corps of Engineers fleet.
That's all that's left. So we, I'm hoping that, this was built in 1981. It's a solid ship. It's only going to last probably another 13, 14 years. And, but it was a great tour. And I thank the city for inviting me and Ron and a couple other people that actually went out there too. The other thing is that we did have boat safety day at the yacht club. We had a couple people from the Friends. I think Roger was there, Dana and Lynn, and we raised $884. One anonymous donor gave us $800 to finished the purchase of a rescue sled, which we're purchasing right now. So we're making some headway, and our next goal is a new jet ski, which is what we're working toward right now for the Harbor Department. So thank you, everyone, and go to our website. It tells everything, and we're also forming our committee for our new movie night. Surfline actually just donated $1,000 to us for our next movie night. So a lot of good things happening on that front. Thank you.
Bill, how much is that jet ski, please?
Jet ski is approximately $10,000, and that's what we have budgeted for. We don't have any real money for that right now. So if anyone cares to donate specifically for that, go to our website, and you can donate money there, or you can mail in a donation to our P.O. box, which is also on our website. Our website is www.friendsatthemoralbayharbordepartment.org. Neil? Dana?
Yes, the long-awaited move of the tugboat Alma happened today. This is the Central Coast Maritime Museum's signature vessel. It's a working boat from this harbor. It was built in 1928, and it helped rescue people off the Montebello when it was torpedoed off Cambria by a Japanese sub. And so it is now in its place. The rescue submarine was also moved before that, and so all three boats, the Coast Guard boat along with these other two, are in place where they've been intended to be. And Sunday they're putting together a fundraiser lunch from noon to 2, and Tognazzini's will be supplying the barbecue stuff, so there's a $15 donation for adults and $7 for children. So see you Sunday.
Now, Dana, I noticed that there is also some type of celebration on the Saturday also, 11 to 3.
Open house on Saturday,
okay,
and then the lunch is on Sunday. Thank you. Yeah.
Some people that can't make Sunday might want to come on Saturday.
And you can always come by and take a look. There's some information there to read about at least the sub at this moment. Well, and the Coast Guard boat.
Alan?
Is the barbecue taking place at the museum site or at the Dockside Cafe?
No, it's at the museum site.
Thank you, Dana. Ron, do you have anything?
No.
Okay. Okay, given that, any public comment at this time? Seeing none, I'd like to take a... Oh. Well, I thought you're still talking about the Alma.
We were.
Okay.
It's fantastic. My name is Steve Rebuck. I live in San Luis Obispo. I grew up in Morro Bay, and I'm really happy for what y'all have done for the Alma and the Maritime Museum Association. But I have one more favor I'd like to ask of you. There's a boat on the next block up here, the Dirty Dozen. It belonged to Harold Biagini. That boat needs to be moved someplace for storage till it can be refabricated. That boat is the last of the heavy gear diving boats from Morro Bay. It's built in 1966. It's got a diving ladder on it, which means it was used for heavy gear diving, meaning the helmets and the heavy boots and such. And so as a last example of that style of boat, I think it's valuable. My family moved here in 55 to fish abalone, and 66 was really about the end of things around here. But that boat was probably obsolete by the time it hit the water, but it's still here.
Where is it right now?
It's just a block up here at Harold's old property.
Okay.
Do you know where?
Market Street.
Across the street
from the old Sun Bulletin building.
Correct, yeah. So if there's a place, I think that property is going to be sold or is sold, and that boat needs to be moved somewhere. And it's not that big. Footprint isn't that large. But if there's a home for it someplace, it'd be great. So,
thank you
for your time.
Yeah, Dana?
Yeah, and you can get a hold of the Larry Newland at the Maritime Museum because he'd be very interested if you have a place to store this boat because it does need to move. Thank you.
Okay. Gene?
Yeah, as long as we're talking about old boats, there is a proposal in front of the planning department right now to relocate one of the old pilot houses. It's a little boat pilot house. It's really small. It's probably 6 feet by 5 feet. And it's been in the storage yard of the city for a number of years. I'm not even sure who owned it at one time or what boat it came from. But Verge is hoping to put it down in front of the Giovanni's area there for an information booth sort of thing there. So it's more maritime history showing up.
That came before us a while back, didn't it? That little keesock is what it was.
Yeah. Well, it could be a kiosk.
Yeah.
Pilot.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, folks? All right. Hearing none. Let's go over here to the consent calendar and A1. Have a chance to look at the minutes from the Harvard Advisory Board, April 7th, 2016. If my memory serves me correct, we had some snafu in our minutes. Am I right, Polly?
Oh. No, that's Laurie was here.
Oh.
That was previous minutes.
Oh, that's right.
We corrected last time. You got the corrected version last time.
Okay.
And we're behind on one set of minutes now. That's why you have two for tonight.
I see. All right. Any corrections or anyone like to make a motion to approve?
Which ones are we doing?
April 7th, 2016.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Gene has made the motions to approve April 7th, 2016. And Dana will second it. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Minutes pass from April 7, 2016. Then we have the minutes from May 5, 2016. Alan?
I made a statement that was accurately recorded by Polly, but the statement was erroneous. I said that the Observer program on the East Coast, their observation had gone from 100% to 14%. It actually went from 24% to 14%, a considerable difference. So just wanted to make that correction.
Thank you, Alan. Any other corrections, comments, motions?
I'll make a motion that we approve these minutes with the corrections noted.
Gene has made a motion to correct the Alan's comment and to approve the minutes for May 5th. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Alan. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
Yes, Ron. Okay. Okay, the Harvard Department Status Report. Eric, B1.
Thank you and good evening. First, I just want to throw out a thanks to Bill and Becca and everybody that's worked so hard on the Friends and everything you guys are doing for our department and for everything. It's been great, so appreciate the support. It seems like we're slowly gaining steam and support, which is good. And thanks to Dana and Larry Newland and everybody out at the Alma today did a great job, very pro-crew on the tug there. Keith Kelsey was there, which was good to see. One of the guys was actually on the Avalon that served on the Avalon in the submarine.
Fresno, he was there.
For 13 years, he was here today talking story. It was pretty interesting. So it was great turnout and great help, and knock on wood, everything went pretty much without a hitch. So glad to see that finally happen. So back to the agenda, recent department activity for emergency responses, 92 calls for service, pretty standard stuff, nothing really out of the ordinary. Only a couple of days of small craft advisories for wind or swell, so it's been a
somewhat windy spring. It hasn't been off the charts, so seems like we have more overcast days than windy days, but so far so good. April 30th, we conducted some training for the new Sea Life Stewards Program. This is a group that's spawned out of the Marine Mammal Center and California State Parks and others to help educate folks on how to safely and appropriately interact with marine mammals, primarily otters. As you know, there's a lot of otters in town in the bay now, and people like to paddle right up to them, and that can't always be the best thing to do for them. So they've got these stewards out there that are kind of docents out on the water, and so we did some training with them on water safety and boating safety to help them get up and running. And they'll be on the water most weekends, May through September, probably holiday weekends as well, or holidays as well. On Sunday, May 1st, the Dredge Aquina arrived. I don't have the total yardage moved yet, but as you know, they've left. I think they snuck out of here sometime in the night on the 29th, Sunday the 29th. But they had one extra day at the pier, so they had some problem with an exhaust stack on a
manifold,
bow thruster or something. So they lost a day dredging due to that, unfortunately, but we got extra days because we got extra funding, so I'm sure we made same amount of yards or more than previous years, which is good because we needed it. They made the comment, both skippers made the comment that, man, we're glad we got the extra time because there's a lot of extra material here. So that was good. So they'll be hopefully see the survey boat here pretty soon, and we'll be able to find out exactly how much yardage they moved. On May 11th, Harbor Patrol Officer Scott Mather attended Atascadero State Hospital Health and Safety Fair. They put on an annual health and safety fair every year for the general public and others to come in and just see what's the latest and greatest in public health and safety. And so he participated out there, had some fun and games going on, and taught the folks about our department, what we do out on the water. So it was good, Scott doing that. May 16th, Reserve Patrol Officer and Lifeguard Supervisor Kyle Schaefer gave a presentation to Cal Poly students about public safety, career, and careers and teamwork. Some more good public outreach by Kyle there back on the 16th, or, yeah, May 16th. May 18th, as you know, the MGN race came through, bicycle race came through town. We were a starting point for one of the legs. We assisted emergency with emergency standby in case something went wrong. We assisted with some crowd control and race course control. Had a couple boats on the water in case anything happened, in case anyone, any of the bike riders crashed into the ocean. Fortunately, none of them did. All went pretty well. I think the biggest thing of that event was just sort of the startup at the rock with all the people and everybody mingling and all the events. Once it got going, it was pretty much over and done in about 5 minutes. They're out of town, but it's good to see that. And from a tourism standpoint, hopefully we'll see them back as a finish, Morro Bay as a finish leg next week. I know they're already talking about it, or next year, so we'll see where that goes. May 20th, we replaced our storage box out at the rock. As you know, we've had a wooden box that was built probably 15 years ago by Jim Kroll, former patrol officer, to store lifeguard and junior lifeguard gear. We had been moving it back and forth every year, haven't moved it back and forth for probably the last 6 or 7 years, and it's kind of become a fixture out of there. It's gotten to the point where it's gotten pretty waterlogged and rotten and really isn't serving its purpose, so we pulled it out and replaced a new box out there as well, a steel Connex box that will go away. It's rented with funding from Friends of the Harbor Department, so it'll go away the end of summer, and we'll bring a new one in every year, so we're not going to have to own one and maintain one, so it'll be a better deal, and get the box out of there all winter long. May 21st, as I think Bill mentioned, in honor of National Safe Boating Week, Harbor Patrol, Coast Guard, Fish and Game, Sheriff, Coast Guard Auxiliary had boat tours and Vessel Safety Day at the Yacht Club. Friends at Harbor Department, as Bill said, had a booth there. We raised a little over $800 towards all the good things they're doing, so thanks again for that. May 23rd and through 25th, we had some interesting Navy boats come to town. We had some Navy SEAL kind of fast response attack, sneak around and do whatever Navy SEAL do boat, Navy SEALs do boats here in the bay. They were tied at the North T Pier. They were, I think, here for 3 days. They were initially just passing through, but I guess they decided to stay for a couple of days and do a little training. So it was interesting to see those. And then coincidentally, two new Navy 85-foot patrol vessels being delivered from Safe Boats, the company that built them up in, I believe, the Seattle area, were being delivered down to San Diego. So they came through and stayed at Tideland's Dock overnight. So
Had a little Navy presence here, had a lot of people wondering what was happening, where the invasion was, what was going on. So, what's that?
When was the invasion?
It's come and gone. The showers at the Morro Rock restroom, public restroom, are now back up and running, but with coin-op control. As you know, we turned them off about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, when we got to a certain drought stage level. By council direction, we went back in and put coin-op in to try and limit the use, which, as you know, we make people pay for things. They're going to use it less. Which it's worked. It gets less use. They're still being used pretty well. We don't know what the tally is yet on the long term, how much use we're going to get. But we're recouping our costs for the water, not giving away for free. And so we'll see how that goes. And if it continues to go well and vandalism isn't a major factor, knock on wood, we've only got one full height shower and then the low shower, the ADA and child level one operational. There's a second one we haven't heated up yet. But if everything goes well, we'll get that one running as well. So look for that out at the Rock. Lifeguards went on duty last weekend, Memorial Day weekend. They'll start 7 days a week starting June 11th. Look for a new lifeguard tower. Lifeguard supervisor Kyle Schaefer found a surplus tower out of Santa Cruz, very similar to the towers we already have. Got it trucked down. Again, thanks to the Friends of the Harbor Department, paid for the trucking costs to bring that down from Santa Cruz. And we will be putting that on top of the Rock revetment, somewhere out in the changing station area, somewhere out in the corner. It's going to be a great look down the water from above view, give the lifeguards a much better view, much like you see down in Southern California, particularly Huntington Beach. Tower Zero is right there on the pier, gives them the best view ever. Not necessarily a response tower, because you don't really want to be running down the rocks, but good bird's eye view spot. So we'll be looking for that coming up sometime in the next few weeks. Judge Aquina, I already talked about that. Recent city council action, May 10th meeting, the council adopted the fiscal year 16-17 advisory board work plans as presented. As you know, we had a couple of workshops, got a fair amount of input on those, revised them and presented those back to city council on the 10th, and they approved those. So we'll be putting together all the things we need to put together on those and start bringing things in front of the board as we need to bring them in front of the board. May 26th, the City Council held its first budget workshop for FY17. We did make adjustments, and a second budget workshop was held on the 31st. Is that right, Matt? Just last week. Made a few final tweaks. It looks like everything's in order. I believe we're on track for having the budget adopted on June 14th. If not, we've got another council meeting in June to get that done. But everything looks pretty good. With the budget, we're balanced to the tune of, I think, about $10,000. We've done a few last-minute changes on it, but I think we're still about $10,000 in the black, including a little bit of capital wiggle room, but not much. So good news on that as revenues are continuing to go up. Percent gross reporting and revenues will be due July 1st, coming up here in less than a month. So we'll see how things are looking this year. Hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be looking good when those numbers come in. At their May 26th meeting, Council adopted Resolution 4116, approving third quarter budget adjustments. Harbor Fund, we really didn't have any adjustments to do. There's a couple of things that needed to get done. Usually we go in mid-year, which we did, and make larger adjustments in both revenues and expenses, which we did mid-year back in, I think, January or February. Third quarter is really just a quick review, and anything that sort of desperately needs to get taken care of, gets looked at and taken care of. We didn't have anything significant to deal with, so we had nothing on that agenda item. Also, in the meeting of May 26th, the City Council adopted Resolution 3716, setting the fiscal year 2017 master fee schedule. Everything on the harbor fees went up a standard CPI increase. I want to say either 2.3 or 3.2. I can't remember which percent it was. But everything went up a pretty standard CPI increase. We elected to eliminate the dollar per hour launch ramp fee just because it's kind of impossible to enforce. If somebody goes down and pays for a dollar for an hour, it's hard for our folks to go down and kind of try and keep track of those boats. and trailers. We looked at, we've got a new program for monitoring our machine down there that Paulie and I took a look at. They've got new software, and it's got a lot more reporting, a lot more tools and app-type things you can do with it and look at the data and look at different graphs and usages and times and whatnot. And really, when you look at 40 spaces per day approximately, sometimes more when people come and go, the vast majority, and I'd probably say 95% plus, was all day, $5. Small minority of folks using an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. And then I suspect there may be folks that pay for an hour knowing that we don't go back through and check on an hourly basis and look and see what they may be using or maybe not. So folks that would be doing that are just going to have to pay the full $5 a day. So shouldn't really affect revenues terribly much. As I said, it's a minor percent that pay $1 an hour, so, or $2 an hour, or $3 an hour. So those adoptions, or those changes were adopted by the council back on the 26th, and so starting July 1st, you'll see that new fee schedule. We're leaving it $5 a day. The other reason we got rid of it is because the dollar per hour up to 4 hours was, there's no real good way to adjust that. The thing, machine only takes cash or credit cards, and for cash customers, it's dollar bills, $5 bills only. Machine doesn't make change. And there's no real way to adjust a dollar an hour, 3.2%. Even $5 an hour or $5 a day gets a little difficult. So we'll probably potentially next year, maybe the year before, we'll bump it up to 6 and then let it go for a number of years until a CPI, a cumulative CPI over a number of years makes it warranted to bump it up to another dollar and just do it a dollar a time. So look for that in the future. We have a new reserve Harbor Patrol officer on our ranks, so look for him, Dave Muff. Dave's been around here for quite a while, surfing, fishing, diving guy. He's raced dinghies, performed whitewater rescues, came to us just kind of out of the blue, wasn't really recruitment. Looked good, took him on as a sort of a, not a volunteer, but we had him on a couple days and decided to bring him on as we're a little bit short on reserves right now, not terribly, but we always kind of adjust our ranks up and down depending on how our part-time cadre is and what their availability is. So look for Dave. He's a teacher, literature at a local high school, so good addition to the crew there. And I think last time I announced our new administrative assistant, Trudy Kyle. She came on a couple, 3 weeks ago, so you see her in the office. She's mostly in the back, but she's in the front as well, so look for her. Upcoming events, and now this is a bygone event. We did a boat demo on June 1st. That was the Lady Jane, an old wooden power boat that was, I think, on a mooring for a number of years, and it was back in the State Park Marina the last couple of years. Reached the end of its life. The owner of that boat wanted to get rid of it, and rather than sell it to somebody that didn't have the ways or means or place to keep it, he elected to turn it in, which he did, and so we took care of that boat on grant funding from Department of Boating and Waterways. On June 2nd, Maritime Museum, Move the Alma, already talked about that. Rock to Pier Run on July 9th. Look for that. That's the city event that we put out every year. Great event. It's gotten participation, I think, increased over the years as time goes on. And then the next couple pages, a couple photos there, the Safe Boating Expo, Scott out at the Atascadero Health and Safety Fair, the two Navy boats and the two Navy SEAL boats that they didn't kill us for taking those pictures. So interesting week or interesting month. I want to add that we have canceled the July meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. Next meeting after that will be August 7th. Does that sound right? August 4th, Thursday, August 4th. And with that, any questions, comments?
Neil? I had a question regarding recent city council activity. You said that the first line item here at the May 10th meeting, the city council adopted the advisory board work plans as presented. When and how or where could we see that final draft?
I can email it out to you all.
Great.
Don't have it here, but I'll get that to you. It's probably on the city website somewhere. In fact, I'm pretty darn sure it's on the city website somewhere, and I'll send you all both a link to that, and I can send you the actual document as well.
And I assume from the way it was written, it was adopted with all the proposed changes, or?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, proposed changes, and then there were a couple, after it went through you guys, through the Harbor Advisory Board, there were a couple of add-ons that we did, that the council did for a couple of add-ons, so.
Okay.
I'll get that out to you.
Okay, any questions for Eric? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. A lot of activities in the harbor continue to be in this summer. So now what we would like to do is go to our business items, and C1 would be the update from the Marine Services Facility Boatyard Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. Dana?
Thank you. We have not too much to report right now. We're kind of waiting on some progress from a proposal, but before that gets going, Eric and Larry Newland of the Maritime Museum and myself and Mr. Simons are going, we need to meet, and it's been kind of hard for us to do that right now. Mr. Simmons just got married, and so with everything going on, we just haven't made that meeting yet. But that is our next move, and then I'll be reporting back to my ad hoc committee, and we'll go from there.
Now, Dana, did you get a chance to review the Sentinel Staircase Master Plan at all?
Well, I went to the meeting.
Did it have anything to do with the Triangle
Park? It did not, and that was one of the big reasons I went.
Thank you.
And it was pretty much quite similar to the design charrette we did for the Triangle lot, but it was right here. And so I was sitting at a table. Next thing I know, I'm in a committee and we're designing. And the people that I was with were very interested because they're business owners and it was right in front of them. And I was asked, well, what do you want to see? And I go, well, this is kind of your neighborhood. I just want to make sure, you know, parking doesn't all, somebody says parking's all going to go on this Triangle lot. And they go, oh, no. This one gal that, business owner, she says, no, I have a boat, and I have been down to Port San Luis twice to haul out and was not able to haul out, had to bring my boat back. I can't wait for a boatyard. So, and she brought that up and when she had to go up and present the designs that we came up. It was very interesting, some neat ideas, but it's more or less the Embarcadero parking and walkways.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was just curious about that. Thank you. C2, update from the finance and budget. Oh, I'm sorry, Ron. Any questions and comments?
As it relates to the boatyard situation, I had an interesting experience about 3 or 4 weeks ago now. I think it's probably been a month. I attended one of the several workshops that the city hosted relative to their waterfront development plan. And I noted the city manager presented quite a number of slides relative to that plan. And I noticed that the slides that featured the Triangle lot indicated that it was for parking. So there was I didn't make the comment, but another person in the group made a comment about that. And fortuitously, in the session that I was in, a couple of members of the Coastal Commission, who happened to be in town, attended that session, and two Coastal Commission staffers who take care of the Central Coast area were there as well. And when that person got done, one of the attendees made a comment about, you know, is it just parking or is it something else? The staffer said that, and I'm paraphrasing, and I don't remember his exact words, but he said, you know, it's not a one-for-one deal. I'm sorry, the city manager said to the person, it's a one-for-one deal. And the staffer said, not necessarily. Depends on what your overall plan is. And, you know, if it meets the Coastal Commission's mission of providing, you know, public access and preserving public access and all that sort of thing, that we could look at your plan and we might be flexible about that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Thank you, Ron. Any other questions from Dana or any comments? Thank you, Dana, for all your hard work on this. You know, it's a long, tedious process. C2, update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. Neil?
Hello. We were able to meet since the Ad Hoc Committee was able to meet since the last meeting, and I have a short report here summarizing our current work elements. I'd like to start off just based on one of the staff report issues that was discussed, the budget that's going to be adopted on June 14th. I just wanted to make it clear that the Ad Hoc Committee has not seen nor did it participate in a review of the 2016 or 17 budget. Now I'm going to go into our work elements. And these were, there's three of them here, and they were, I don't know if they were put in order. I would say they're kind of in maybe order of importance. They're all important, but this is how we started our list anyway. The first element is the cost allocation study. We would like to continue to review that the current cost allocation study as it applies to the Harbor District, as we believe that is obsolete. After that, number two is enhancing revenue. We were charged with this task in the city's goals and objectives, and so we began a brainstorming process of different elements, not elements, but different opportunities that the harbor might have. And so in no particular order, the first one we have here is management of the State Park Marina, and that's kind of the heading for underneath that, working to complete the dredging of the marina this year in conjunction with the current dredge plans for the rest of the bay to capitalize on the already scheduled presence of the Army Corps of Engineering. The enhancement of the current layout of the and increased slip rent could be a profitable venture for the city. The next would be converting the lot below Centennial Staircase into a paid parking lot, a kiosk like Eric was talking about that they have at the launch ramp right now. Could be installed, and parking stalls could be painted with numbers, and the city could begin to collect revenue immediately without any major construction costs. Paid parking throughout the waterfront we talked about, including potentially putting RV stalls in out at the Rock. Permitted food trucks at the Rock and Thailand Parks or the launch ramp. They could pay a permit fee and possibly, like all other businesses on the waterfront, percent gross to the enterprise zone. And then also looking at the currently unused assets of the city for possible use. And that could be, for example, the lease site at the end of the Embarcadero. I'm not sure what the site number is, but it's the last lease site that's currently undeveloped, and it's right before Thailand Park. 49?
49, yeah.
So that was just an example, and I believe in the past there's been ideas that have been thrown out that weren't adopted, but this is just one example of an unused asset that the city owns that we're just starting the brainstorming process to find out what ideas there might be still floating out there and at least keeping it fresh on people's minds that there is an unused resource and try and capitalize on it. So the next work element we worked on was enhancing the current capital schedule. So we want this schedule to be 100% inclusive, make sure the useful life of each line item is appropriately projected, identify an appropriate annual maintenance budget for each line item, identify replacement costs for each line item, and then also want to note that a lot of the elements in a capital schedule will tie directly back into the cost allocation study. So although we listed this 1 through 3, there is some things that are equally important here. And so at this time, Mr. Harbor Director, if there's anything else that you wish to add, including any elements that you'd like us to explore that we might have missed.
Thanks, Neil. No, I can't have anything to add. I'll just throw a couple comments in. Neil and I spoke a few days ago. It might have been last week. I don't recall. But anyhow, regarding the budgeting, you know, we've got the capital budget and the capital schedule and all that, which is where this committee began. And then we've got our operational budget. And with the exception of potential revenue projections and assumptions in management partners report, you know, and using, because as you know, we used their numbers
and their projections as well in our budgeting this year, or in years previous we hadn't, because we management partners hadn't done their harbor fund version of that. But as far as the operational budget, the operating budget, I don't see a huge ad hoc involvement in that, because operating is operating, and it's there may be an informational element to it, but I don't see an active ad hoc element to it beyond, like I said, the sort of the projections and assumptions of it to help craft it. Where I really see it coming into its own is on the capital end, and as you know, on these goals and objectives, increasing revenue and looking at other revenue sources, and using you and your expertise and outreach to be able to assist in vetting those different ideas out there and figuring out how to get them to the Harbor Advisory Board and the City Council. Food trucks, all great ideas, all those things. So I look forward to working with you on that and setting up some meaningful meetings and some time aside where we can really sit down for a few hours and really dig into some of those, because it's going to take time.
You know, the one thing I do, and I think the one reason why this committee was formed, Eric, is last year we didn't even get a copy of the budget. And so I understand your comment, and I respect it, that you don't feel the ad hoc committee should be involved in the operation, so be it. But at least I think the courtesy that we should at least see a rough draft here at a meeting and the public just for informational purposes only, if anything else. I feel that should be done, personally.
So noted.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Yeah, Neil.
I forgot to report also that I have made contact with staff at the management partners, and we are currently trying to figure out a schedule for a meeting in which we're going to go over the assumptions as they apply to the Harbor District for the current report.
Thank you, Neil. That's good news. Ron, you have anything?
No.
Okay. C3, update from the Eelgrass Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities.
The Eelgrass Committee has not met recently. We do have some things that will be coming up soon, and there'll be more later.
Thank you, Lynn. An update from the Marine Sanctuaries Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities. Ron?
At the last Harbor Advisory Board meeting, Alan gave a report for the committee. And to reaffirm the essence of his report, since March of this year, the Harbor Advisory Board has recommended to the City Council that the city sponsor public information forums relative to a generic National Marine Sanctuary off the coast of Morro Bay, without regard to the Chumash proposal. In April, the City Council discussed the matter and determined that the city was not in a position to sponsor Marine Sanctuary-related public information events. Rather, the Council stated it was content to have information that kind of information come out of the federal government's designation process for the proposed Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary, which per its proposal extends from north to south and south to north along the coast immediately outside Morro Bay. During the City Council discussion in April, one of the council persons stated that the list of potential public information presenters that was generated by the ad hoc committee did not represent a, quote, balanced, unquote, range of presenters. That's incorrect. The ad hoc committee has identified a number of potential presenters, including both public and private entities, who have experience living with one or more national marine sanctuaries, and without regard to whether their experiences were positive, neutral, or negative. That wasn't an element of the determination of the identification process. So, future National Marine Sanctuary public information events would need to be sponsored and or organized by entities other than the City of Morro Bay. And the committee continues to feel that that they're very, very important, and not just to the citizens of Morro Bay, but as the City Council pointed out back in April, and, you know, the entire county actually is involved.
Thank you, Ron. Any questions for Ron? Okay, hearing none. We will go now to C5, which is our new Coast Guard building and harbor office building location options.
Thank you, Bill. If I get AGP to queue up that presentation. I've created a scintillating PowerPoint, which I'll show here in a minute, but I'm going to go over a few things on staff report first. So as you know, Coast Guard came into about $1.4 million a few years ago. I think it was back in 2012, late 2012, early 2013. They came to us, City of Morro Bay, on, hey, where can we build, you know, approximately 1,500, 2,000 square feet? We've got some money. And so we met with them several times. Looked out at the other side of the PowerPoint intake building, triangle parking lot, restroom next to our harbor office in that somewhat empty lease site between us and Krill's. Never really went anywhere too far, brought it to the Harbor Advisory Board I think a couple of times. At that time, our harbor office site really wasn't at play, only that restroom site. So we were entertaining that. I think we brought to the Harbor Advisory Board, where can we potentially rebuild this bathroom? Didn't get too far with it. Coast Guard kind of disappeared for a while, and they came back. Well, now we've reengaged. Council's reengaged. They expressed interest in the site of our harbor office building, which would be ideal for them because it's adjoining their building. Doesn't split them apart. Of course, that makes us have to move, or we, as you know, are pretty short on capital funds right now. Coast Guard is seriously undersized for their mission, their current mission. That building was built in the early 90s to manage, to house their needs for two Coast Guard cutters that were here at the time, 287-footers. They're long gone. It's turned into a station. It's turned into a search and rescue detachment. It is what it is now, and it's they need about 12,000 to 14,000 feet if you were to build in the building from scratch for their mission and staffing right now. They've got, I want to say maybe 2,000 feet right now, so 2,500. They're woefully undersized, as are we. We've outgrown our building. I actually saw, as Coast Guard was hired folks to assess our building and what they're going to be able to provide us for fair market value, and as they do their environmental analysis, if they were to take our site, they wanted to know the history of it and when it was built. And I fairly recently discovered the old plans for our building. They were built by the county back in 1962 or 63. Our building was built by the county and then turned over to the city when we incorporated in 64. So, you know, our building was built for a department that was sized back then, and we actually had, I think, Public Works in the building back then as well, and the Coast Guard. So we've outgrown that, I'd say, decades ago. But again, funding's our big problem. So Coast Guard is interested in our building site. City Council entertained that, provided Coast Guard could help out financially. And so we've brought this back to the City Council in closed session a couple times and discussed it. And sort of where we are today, sort of the Cliff Notes version of the staff report. Couple of different options, three different options really is what we're facing now. And we're asking the Harbor Advisory Board to weigh in on what option we think the city should pursue. Option number one is build a brand new harbor office, primarily on a second floor at the restroom site, with a new restroom shower below. at the current, again, at the current North Teapier restroom site, and Coast Guard builds and expands where our harbor office is now. So that becomes option one. Option two, Coast Guard builds on our current restroom shower site, and where they identified previously in earlier efforts. They give us some funding to build a new restroom. The restroom goes away, and we put a restroom in a location to be determined. Then option three is nobody does anything. Really, we tell the Coast Guard we don't have space for them at this time, at least for the immediate future, and nobody moves anywhere. Visually, there's option one. So you've got, not to blind anybody with this, you've got U.S. Coast Guard stationed now. You've got the harbor office now. Option one, Coast Guard moves here. Harbor Department moves over here. Something elevated up on a second floor. Potential parking and some visual sighting from below. Restroom underneath, new restroom underneath. And then again, Coast Guard building over here. Option two. Where'd my pointer go? There it is. Harbor office stays put. We stay in our 1962 building. Coast Guard moves over to the restroom site. Restroom goes away. Don't know where to put it yet. As I spoke earlier, we grappled with that a couple of years ago on where to put it. Never came up with any great ideas. We've just kind of penciled in over here. New WC, I guess, new water closet. It's really a restroom. Coast Guard has expressed the interest that if they do move over here, they really don't want to have a restroom next to them. They want their own complete site there. So that's just kind of a placeholder at this point. Pros and cons and costs. For option one, the cost, project cost for the city is about $1.1 million. We've identified that an appropriately sized harbor office and restroom facility would cost about $1.1 million, which currently we don't have. But under option one, if the Coast Guard takes our current harbor office site, they give us $315,000 as fair market value. We met with them on the phone the day before yesterday, and they did indicate that potential to adjust that number based on local market conditions and other factors, so we'll be looking at that. But still, using for argumentative sake, we get about $315,000 from the Coast Guard, meaning our project is about $800,000 and for a new harbor office and shower facility. Option two, the new shower cost is about $150,000. So this is option two. If the Coast Guard moves over to the restroom shower site, we stay put. City gets about $60,000. That's their number that they've identified as a fair market value. Again, a little bit of wiggle room on what that number may be, but it's not going to change significantly, meaning our cost is about $100,000 for a new restroom. Again, the harbor office stays put and gets rebuilt sometime in a current in its current location with sometime in the future, uncertain with funds uncertain. The pros and cons to option one, the major pros, several pros, the Coast Guard gets a new facility, a new much-needed facility, additional space, and they're a single building. They're not split. You don't want to have two different buildings worth with personnel in from a command and control standpoint and from a functional standpoint. So they prefer to be one building, so they're not split in this option. Other pros, the city gets a new larger harbor office, which is desperately needed, and we get a new and improved public restroom and shower facility, so something that's been a hot topic here for the last few months as well. And we get all these facilities pretty much right where we need it now. Not on the slide, but one of the needs for us, if we were to move over to that restroom site, is moving to a second floor, not just to have a second floor to have a pretty view, but to have a view of the harbor office and bay from a safety and standby standpoint. It's important that we can see boats coming and going as we often intervene in things before they happen. And that location actually gives us a much superior view than we have now. Obviously, if we were to go to two floors in the existing site, we'd have that same view. But if we move over there, we look over the top of Tognazzini's dockside, and we look down the bay as well as up the bay in the harbor. So we get a superior spot there. The primary con for that spot is cost to the city. We've got to figure out a way to come up with $800,000. Another con for the Coast Guard, which I didn't put on here but just thought of, is they're losing $315,000 out of their approximate $1.4 million they have, so they've got a little bit less money to work with because they've just got a pot of money, single pot of money to work with. Option two, the pro is that it's the cheapest short-term option for the city. If you don't count option three, which is do absolutely nothing. Longer term, obviously that's going to cost the city more because we have to build our own office with our own funds. The con for option two is we've got to find the location for the restroom and shower, which, as I spoke earlier, we looked at earlier and didn't really have anything that stuck right out. And we still have the need to replace our harbor office sometime in the future with, again, funds uncertain. And the Coast Guard gets split between two locations, which I look at it as if we do that, maybe we're a rose between two thorns, but still they don't like to be split. You're supposed to laugh at that. So for consideration tonight, what we're looking for the Harbor Advisory Board to weigh in on, option one, do we take on $800,000 in debt and end up with a new harbor office, upgraded restroom, Coast Guard can expand their facilities together, and we take advantage of the Coast Guard's $315,000 seed money. Option two, we spend about $100,000 now, and we get a new restroom shower facility, which would be an upgrade and improvement from some of the things we've been dealing with lately. Coast Guard split. We do take advantage of their $60,000 seed money, so they've got a little bit more money to deal with, and they get a little better facility. And option three, do nothing and everybody stays put. Coast Guard's funding reverts back to either Congress or other projects, which is how they got it in the first place. It was other projects that had been earmarked for that didn't get built for whatever reason, so they were able to identify that money and get it put to this station. So that money goes away in FY19, federal 19. They really want to have it allocated and moving in federal fiscal year 18. Otherwise, it's going to go away. And as long as they keep making progress, they're going to hang on to it. If we completely stop in our tracks here and it looks like it's option three, folks, and no, we really don't have anywhere for you, they're going to lose that money because they're not going to be able to go anywhere with it. For consideration, and this is what we're recommending as staff, is for consideration, does HAB recommend pursuing to the City Council, pursue option one, two, or three? And then what does HAB recommend in terms of recouping? This is something I haven't touched on yet, and maybe I should expand. Obviously, the funding we don't have, as I spoke earlier, we'd have to look at some sort of financing, whether that be on the open market financing or grants, combinations thereof, going to the general fund for loans, all sorts of different potential options out there. But we are going to have to fund this. We don't have the funding now. One potential option to generate more revenues is to charge the Coast Guard fair market value rent for both wherever they build and their existing site. Currently, they only pay us $1 a year for their site. It's a ground lease. They built that building at their full cost. They do pay us about $700 a month for a storage space out at the Fisherman's Gear Storage in our yard, and they pay for their use of the pier space. This would be an entirely new lease that obviously they prefer to pay $1 a year for, but it's a different pot of money, a different color of money. It wouldn't come out of this capital money. It would come out of their operating budget. So we're recommending pursuing the Coast Guard and, in terms of charging them fair market value for their space to help pay for our cost to make up for it. And with that, concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Eric.
I think
it was informative. So, comments? Ron? Gene?
Yeah, Eric, how many square feet did you say that the Coast Guard is looking for initially? I think you said 15,000 or 12,000.
Well, if you look at their staffing and their mission and having now to provide male and female accommodations, currently they can't. They used to have several females working there, and now they can't anymore because don't have the facilities for them. If you build it from scratch, they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 12,000 to 14,000 square feet.
That's what they're looking for.
That's ideally what they would like.
How many square feet are in the existing Coast Guard building?
They are, I want to say, around 2,000.
Okay. The Harbor Office lease site is smaller than the Coast Guard lease site. So they could maximum get another 2,000 square feet. So they have a total of 4,000 square feet, and they're looking for 12,000 square feet.
Well, they're not trying to build 12,000 square feet. Okay. They're going to build to the amount of money they have.
Okay.
Minus the 300,000-ish they may give to us, they believe they can get about 1,500 additional square feet.
Okay.
Maybe 2,000 if they get lucky. So that's what they've got to work with. Yeah, if they had oodles of money, they'd build 12,000 square feet in space, but they don't have either.
How large a harbor office are you anticipating being able to be built over the bathroom area?
We're looking at about 1,500 square feet, which is roughly double what we have.
800 right now?
900 and change.
Okay.
Alan?
And how big will the bathroom, what will be the change in size of the bathroom?
I think that's to be determined. I think it would...
Would it be 1,500 as well?
No, it would... I think what we're looking at initially is a harbor office, let's say on pilings or stilts, elevated harbor office. There'll be some harbor element on the ground, storage and whatnot, but primarily restroom on the bottom so that we can potentially preserve some parking down below. It's a pretty big lease site.
Are we talking about seriously upgrading the capacity of the restroom and possibly putting in a lock and shower for transients and liveaboards?
I think it's all on the table. I don't know that we'll be able to go to that size, but it's certainly going to be, would be an upgrade from what is there now. That's got to be a 30-year-old restroom plus.
Yeah, that's a significant advantage.
Gene?
Yeah, I've been dealing with construction costs in that area here the last couple of months, and basic mat slab foundation for either one of those projects are going to be somewhere around $200,000.
And explain that to the layman's.
A mat slab is considered a floating slab where they excavate out the entire lease site and then put a 12 to 18 inch concrete pad, maybe down 2 or 3 feet down, and that's a big floating slab. Then everything gets built up over the top of that.
And that's only
so
two.
So that's just the slab.
That's just the slab. That's not even the finished slab. That's just a big pad down below that's buried 2 or 3 feet. So you bury a lot of money in the ground.
So we're talking, square footage price, you might be looking at $350 a square foot?
$400.
Okay.
The $1.1 million estimate we got came from Public Works folks, and it included not just pure construction cost, it was all the stuff plus a contingency. So that's where we came up with that number.
That worked out.
Lynn?
How likely is it that the Coast Guard could pay the fair market value rent that you're talking about? Whether that is actually fair market, but something between the $1 that they pay now and whatever would be fair market.
How likely is it? Well, it'll be a negotiated item.
They
presented two MOUs to us, one for each site, that took about a year for them to put together and present to us. They had presented a dollar a year, and that is their initial preference. Like I said, we had a conference call with them earlier this week, and brought this notion forward. They're the capital building property people. They're not the money people, so they've basically got to bring in a whole other group of people to start that conversation, and that's what we're engaging in now.
What is the Coast Guard's preference, Eric? Do they have a preference? They brought two MOUs to you, and have they stated that they like one or two?
Yeah, they prefer not being split. They prefer taking our harbor office site.
Neil?
So with that $1, they also have the use of the dock as well? Or is that a separate?
No, that's a separate lease.
A separate lease.
That's what I was wondering, though.
A buck a year is just their building site. Right. They've got a separate lease for the dock and the part of the pier that's got that little building out there, and then a year and a half ago, we did a whole other small lease agreement for our old, we're in the bigger shed now, what I call the Cal Poly shed, my guys call the boatyard, the big building next to the Alma, that's where we are now, and we vacated the smaller building between that and the fisherman's gear storage, and that's what they're in now.
Right. So I'm just not familiar with the water lease of it as it pertains, it's not a $1 a year lease fee, or...
No, it's.
I don't have the number, but I want to say it's 700 a month. Is that what you said, Polly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the
new.
Oh, that's the shed. Now for the pier lease,
they pay 700 for the shed.
I want to say it's
yard.
Out on the yard.
Yeah, out on the yard, they pay 700
a month. Yeah, their pier and dock lease is about 1,200 a month.
So they pay approximately $2,000 to us. $2,001. Okay.
Approximately. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what fair market value would be yet to be determined. That's something we'd have to get an appraisal on. We've got numbers from comparables in the area from recent appraisals, which they're going to appraise somewhat differently because of different uses. But, you know, for argument's sake, you know, we would be looking at least initially at the same 8% of appraised value as their starting point. Gene?
Yes. Coast Guard was opposed to building on top of a restroom. They're afraid of a bomb being put underneath it or something like that. Coast Guard building is an essential facility. I believe that the Harbor Department would also be an essential facility. Is there any safety issues with having a public area underneath the Harbor Office?
Correct with the Coast Guard. They didn't want to be next to, over, under, around a public facility.
Right.
That was one of the things that shot down previous years, I should say decades now, efforts of trying to put a Harbor Office and Coast Guard facility together. Even though you get, you know, a lot of Coast Guard stations around the country are secured with fencing, and in some places, maybe some more sensitive areas, they've got barricades and they look a little more like a military outpost. Our station obviously is not well protected at all. And has no buffer to the public whatsoever, nor would their new building, no matter where it goes. But they, one of the problems they had when we were looking at a joint Coast Guard Harbor facility was you had the public accessibility, even in our department. Even though they've kind of got that now with our building being right next to them, it's not the same building, and so they had the heebie-jeebies about even that plan. So, yeah, they don't want to be joined together. Essential services, when Public Works created the came up with their estimate numbers, they didn't build it to essential services spec. We don't have to be built to essential services spec. We could if we wanted to, but
a fire department is.
Yeah, fire and police will if they ever rebuild their building.
And I believe the Harbor Office in Santa Barbara is overneath the restrooms too.
Not restrooms, but a retail
shop.
Retail shops.
Yeah, yeah, shops and other things.
Even more public.
Yeah.
Neil, do you have anything?
As I'm just looking at this aerial map, as I haven't seen in a while, the road that cuts through the office and the current, in plan number one, between what would be the new Coast Guard and what's currently the restroom, that comes the road that comes straight off of the T pier, that goes straight through. I'm not aware of whatever the master plan is, if we're looking at that, or what traffic plan there is with that service road. I know semis come back in front of my lease down here at 154 and go through. Is that road right there deemed by the city as an essential through road on either side, to the left of the bathroom?
Yeah, I think we'd have to maintain that access to the pier. You can't really come either from north or south down what we call the alleyway.
Okay.
And hang a sharp, with most vehicles. And it may be an option to relook at all that. I know when semis come in to go to the fish dock, you got either end you got to get in and out of over by Togs 3 and the fish dock there and Fowler's and by your place in the Coast Guard. It's a tight squeeze through there, and it may be an opportunity to look at that. And maybe instead of coming through there, we come through the pier spot and make a better radius corner at the Harbor Office new site to enable them to come through there and just put a new curb cut through and just rearrange that. So that's something that could potentially be looked at. It's a good thought to look at that. But, yeah, the pier access needs to be maintained pretty well.
And the parking lot that's in between the taffy, saltwater taffy by Krill's and the current restroom, there's about 6 stalls. Who is that, a city? I know it's all city, but is it part of Krill's lease or Dockside's lease, or is that?
No, it's empty from Krill's through to the restroom, through to the driveway through there. That's all 2 city lease sites, one with a restroom built on. Krill's does have an amendment in their lease that allows them to put that little mini C-train that's kind of hidden because it's painted exact color of the building. It blends right in. They've got a little C-train on the edge of their building there. But otherwise, it's unofficial parking area, really.
Okay.
Dana?
I'm looking at option one here, and it looks like I'm not really worried about the Coast Guard. It looks like the numbers could work out for what they would give you, would give the harbor department or the city for the building, and then they'd have enough to build what they need to do. For the harbor, the new harbor office over the bathrooms, looking for funding for that, is there, do you know of what grant organization, where would you be looking for grants?
Department of Building and Waterways.
Yeah,
I know
that's first choice.
Monterey's Harbor Master's Office was built with that. Several Harbor Master's Offices have been built with that. California Maritime Infrastructure Bank is another group that does harbor coastal infrastructure stuff. USDA, loans and grants. Fire Department was built with mainly USDA loans because we're still a rural, small town, so we get a fair amount of potential USDA funding.
Okay, I like that. Then maybe somebody could just give the donate a bunch of money to the Friends of Harbor and we could build it.
Yeah. Yeah, or the like, next Harbor Friends of the Harbor fundraiser.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, we you know, again, not in being serious, our last meeting that we had the friends there at the yacht club that Lynn so kindly invited us to, that was one of the things that was brought up. And if you remember 2 years ago, that was one of my ideas, and how I started the Friends was because of the Friends of the Library in Morro Bay. And they did raise $500,000.
Or the Friends of the Fire Department, and they, yeah, they had somebody donate $750,000 to buy a new...
Right. So, you know, if again, I think that, and myself and Becca has talked about this, and I think that we can and we should, if we continue to move forward here on option one. I mean, I'd like to weigh in on option one. I think that's really the most logical choice. I mean, when we talked about this and having the Coast Guard split and putting the bathroom somewhere in the parking lot, I just shook my head. I mean, I thought that was ludicrous. So somehow or other, we have to do this, and I think option one is the most logical choice. And as a fundraising capital expenditure goal, I think that we should, as the Friends, we should put that down, and if people would like to donate on a private basis toward this goal, I think that that could be used as operating capital and money, and as another tool to be used to get grants, because a lot of grants are being able to be utilized if you have also some money in your own funding too. So I'd be more than happy to do that. I mean, that was one of my great ideas, and Dana and myself have talked about this. So I think option one is the route to go. I'm really all for this. I think the Coast Guard is probably a very essential element, and I don't think we'd be getting the dredging that we have been getting over the last years if it wasn't for the Coast Guard here. So I'd love to see us accommodate them.
Neil? I agree with option one as well. I would just also like to see, as you brought up, the renegotiation of the lease rate. You know, I just bought a building right next door, and even though I paid for the building, I also pay a rate. And as I start to sell out of that building, I also have to pay a percentage. I mean, this is an enterprise zone, and I understand what you're saying about it's important to have the Coast Guard here, and I fully want to support that. But if they're going to take up vital space on the waterfront that's not going to generate funds, it does serve a purpose, don't get me wrong. But maybe you could negotiate a slightly higher rate, knowing that you're not going to recoup, you know, anything other than, I know when you guys go through and do your assessments of the land versus water, they come up with a flat rate, but that's also assuming that some other income is going to come back off that property. And if that income could possibly offset a construction loan or whatever has to go into that cost, I mean, I think that could be justified.
And you know, that's a good point. I mean, I'd love to see it for undetermined amount of time, but maybe in the negotiations too that the going lease can be to fund the construction costs. Maybe it's 30 years. I mean, that is some way to do that.
That's a good
You know what I mean? In other words, let's not say this is going to be your rate for the next 1,000 years, but for the utilization of our construction costs, we need you to help fund this. Ron?
It seems probable to me that if the city is going to try to leverage the Coast Guard into paying more than $1 a year for the lease sites, their interest in doing so will be directly connected with option one, i.e., a contiguous expansion of their existing building. They're not going to be interested in anything else. It's not going to motivate them. Eric, if you're willing to speculate, what do you think might be the fair market rate of the combined lease sites that are embedded in option one?
And again, this is going to be based on an appraisal, which appraisals are kind of like land surveyors. It's a bit of a black science or black art. But anyhow, based on recent appraisals nearby and what we think might be a starting point fair market value, combined sites. Yeah, let me come back. Let me give you some math. Stand by. Hold that thought.
I'm not going anywhere.
Dana, did the boat move go pretty smoothly? They just finished it up an hour ago or 2 hours ago.
Yeah, it. I would say getting it out of where it was the hardest part, and then putting it on a cradle on the flatbed. So we had a cradle built, yeah. A big frame, which it's sitting on now. So once we got it onto there and getting it cribbed just right was a bit tricky. And so that took quite a while. And then driving it down here, down to the new spot, was pretty quick and easy. And then they just had to pick up the cradle, which was a bit stern heavy. So we just had to keep lengthening the front straps with more shackles until we could pick it up nice and even and then set it down. It went real well from there.
It looks like you guys started about 11 o'clock this morning. So you've been at it part of the day.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, and I was told 9 o'clock, and I got there a little before, and there was already people, because we had to move the sub first. So that, you know, getting that and the brakes on the sub had never, on that trailer,
yeah,
that's had never been used.
That's a maritime piece of history, the sub.
Yeah, yeah. And the trailer that comes with it, and then there's also what's sitting there, which we hadn't seen before, which had been in storage, is this transformer is what they call it, but it's actually it's a mount that goes on a nuclear sub. And it looks like something out of Star Wars. I mean, you just look at it and you go, this is for something in space or something. And it mounts on, it goes on the nuclear sub, and then the rescue sub can be brought in by airplane and put on that sub on these big mounting brackets. And then it can take that underwater, and then it can go rescue another sub. That was what it was built for. So, you know, it's a lot of interesting technology. Even though it's as old as it is, it's still pretty interesting.
You know, when I first thought about you guys moving all those boats around, I thought, well, I wonder how that's going to look. But now that they're sitting right there, it really creates a nice visual, you know, just the positions. Everything's kind of different around and changing, and you get some negative spaces, and it looks pretty cool. So,
I think you're right. I was looking at it today when we finished putting it in place, and I was thinking, boy, I'd like to have a picture from a drone or something, because it's kind of, they're all kind of meeting
in the center as far as the angles of them.
And is the slab going to go right there where it is right now?
There is a slab. Yeah. There's,
and that's where the building is going to be?
A building is designed to go there. So the San Salvador fundraiser, when the San Salvador comes in October 19th, for 5 days, that fundraiser we're hoping will fund the construction of that building.
When you go down the Embarcadero, and the submarine was like the second most photographed thing in the Morro Bay besides the rock, but now the front of that submarine is pointing right on the street, and you go, God, you see it right away, you know. It's like right there.
Yeah, I was told by somebody that my kiosk is in the way that I built of the viewing, but I think the boats all kind of dwarf the kiosk quite a bit. It makes you have to get out of your car and go look up close, and then you can read about it. So it's a happy day for the Maritime Museum.
Yeah.
You said you had a goal for the fundraising. Do you know what that is that you're hoping for with the next fundraiser for the construction?
I think it's $50,000. I don't know exactly. I'm not actually a member of the Maritime Museum Association, but I kind of am because I do a lot of work with them. And that's the number I've heard.
Okay, Eric, is your math there yet?
Oh, my math's getting there. Again, this is purely speculative because we have no idea what a fair market value would be. But I could guess that combined Harbor Department existing site and their site, and their site is not a perfect square, so I had to guess on the number a little bit. It's got a round corner on it where the driveway comes through. Appraise value of that potentially, and this is a total unknown. I wouldn't hang any hat on this at this point. It's going to take a lot more research to figure out an appraisal to figure out where we would go with this. An appraised value of those two properties may land in the neighborhood of somewhere between $60,000 and $75,000 a year potentially.
Combined. Okay, so
it's about 3,200 square feet for those
five,
two sites.
So on a purely speculative basis, 5,000-ish per month.
Yeah.
Correct?
On a purely speculative basis, are you calculating that at 8%?
No, straight.
6,000 divided by?
You're talking about. I presume you meant gross revenue. Is that not correct?
No, I wasn't. Sorry, I didn't.
I'm looking for a fair market monthly rental for those two combined sites. I wasn't talking about buying them.
Well, we've got what's going to be the unknown here is what methodology we use to determine fair market rate and what sort of rate we want to negotiate with the Coast Guard with.
I don't want to hem us into anything here. I understand.
Or even, I'm even hesitant to go too publicly with this.
I'll abandon that question and make a point. Assuming an $800,000 principal for the new combined restroom and harbor office, which is the net of the hypothetical $315,000 contribution from the Coast Guard.
Right.
30 years at 3.5%, and there's public money out there at 3.5%. That's $3,592 a month to service that debt. On a 20-year amortization, it's $4,639 per month to service that debt.
Yep.
On a 10-year amortization at 3.5, that's $7,910 per month. So we're not talking big numbers here. And then as a point of interest, the 1992 T-Pier construction loan is paid off in August 1 of 2021.
tiny bit over 5 years from now. And the city is currently paying on that loan $11,236 per month. So I don't know how the city would feel about the notion of 5 years from now for another fill-in-the-blank 15 to 25 years using some portion of the money that they're used to spending on waterfront debt service, a portion of it on the new building, but there's some pretty interesting numbers available.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of options, especially, and we've talked about that T-Pier debt. You know, that's $11,000 a month, $134,000 and some odd dollars per year. That's a big nut to crack every year, and that's, you know, an eighth of our budget. It's a big number. So
$134,900.
That'll open up a lot of options. As I've always thought since I took over running this department, that, you know, the economy turning around was one major factor in us getting back on our financial feet, but retiring that loan debt was another huge bridge to cross. And we got $130,000 available every year to throw into capital. You know, we're balanced on operating, $130,000 a year in capital. You're going to build up a war chest pretty reasonably quickly with that.
So my essential point was that the debt service on an $800,000 principal construction loan is not a lot of money.
No, it's not.
It depends, you know, filling your amortization rate anywhere from $3,600 to $7,800 a month, offset presumably by some amount of rent from the Coast Guard for those two sites. And as I've already said, I think that the city's in a reasonable negotiating position, provided that it's option one with contiguous buildings, or a contiguous building. And for my money, option one is the only thing that makes, or something like option one, mm-hmm. is the only thing that makes any sense at all.
Internally, we've more or less been throwing around the number of about $4,000 a month in debt service, just for argument's sake. So that's right in that range. And our DBW loan on the pier is 4.5%. I think it's legislatively set. It doesn't really change, and I don't think it's changed forever. But there's other loans in, like, say, California Infrastructure Bank and others that we may be able to get better. And fundraising and grants to bring that principal down. Obviously, we want to bring down the repayment as much as we can. And then in 5 years, five-ish years, we get some serious relief from T-Pier. So we may be able to do something short-term. And then knowing that, hey, in 5 years, we'll be able to have relief without.
Well, you know, Alan brought up an interesting point, too, you know, regarding the restrooms. We've talked about these restrooms, you know, till we're blue in the face. And to anything is an improvement. But, you know, even looking at improving this to maybe in a first-class restroom for showers and the fishermen and the liveaboards and everything like that, it's going to solve a lot of problems, too, and actually enhance, you know, Morro Bay in the visitor-serving area also. It really will be, and it's going to serve a lot of different purposes. And so, as Ron stated, and I will state again, option one is the way that we need to go, and we need to do this.
Well, as we know, and as you... It's very clear that restroom someday is going to have to get upgraded, rebuilt, remodeled, redeveloped. Our harbor office someday is going to have to get done, and we've got $300,000 of Coast Guard seed money now to take advantage of. And like Ron says, it's not a $10 million fire station nut to crack. You know, it's maybe $1.5 million at the most. So it's not too bad.
Dana?
I was just thinking about bathroom being something that could be excluded from the harbor's budget as far as building. I mean, it'd still be built, but I think it seems like a portion of that money should come from the public works side of things. Like you said, it's going to need to be rebuilt or redone anyway, so that might help a little bit.
Okay, Gene?
Eric, the dollar a year lease for the Coast Guard building now, Is there is that easy to get out of that lease agreement?
Coast Guard's going to have to be willing to negotiate it. It's a it's an interesting lease. The it's it was a 40-year lease originally, but it was a series of 41-year leases stitched together in a lease, because and I think the Coast Guard's all their leases are like that, because the Congress can't encumber a future Congress, so they budget year by year, and you can't guarantee you're going to get the allocation every year. So it's a one-year lease, provided Congress really provided Congress's budgets for that facility to exist. Dollar a year is pretty easy, obviously, to make, but it's a 40-year lease for $1 a year. Started in 1993, I think somewhere through there. I think right when I first started is when that was just getting finished up for being built. So we're 20 years into it. So they've got another 20 years. So yeah, they could just say, no, thanks, we're going to keep the existing lease. But hopefully not. I mean, they know that we want them. They want us. Nobody's trying to get the upper hand and take advantage. I think they need the extra space. They realize we've potentially got it, but they understand we're in a financially hard spot. So I think we're in a good position for both of us to move forward. They've got sufficient funding to do what they need to do, and they're willing to help us out too. So I'm confident, reasonably confident, that we'll be able to get there.
Okay. Any other comments or questions for Eric or on this discussion? Alan?
I just have one thing I've been thinking about. Is anybody looking at trying to make this Harbor Patrol office or the Coast Guard building tsunami survivable to some extent? I mean, to make those piers that it's going to be up on strong enough to handle something like that? Not a wave, but a rise. And
no, well, whatever current codes that apply when we build it, we're going to have to comply with. I don't know yet of the only real, I don't know yet of any tsunami building code. I know there's sea level rise stuff where things are starting to get built up a little bit higher.
Right, totally different answer.
Harbors, basically in all those harbors and CMANC, California Marine Affairs and Navigation Conference, we've all taken the position that managed retreat is not an option for a harbor. The harbor is where it is. You're just going to have to deal with it. So building up a little bit higher is generally the tactic. But tsunami-wise, no, a tsunami tactic is run foo.
Okay.
Okay, put it bluntly.
Yeah, Neil?
One more question that's based on something Bill brought up. With the lease, he mentioned tying it to only to the debt service, but is there a problem with maintaining that once we have that revenue from the Coast Guard? I mean, they've got the lease. If, say, it was a 30-year note and they, as soon as it was done and we were done paying a construction loan and their lease was up, how would the city then negotiate, or would it default back to a dollar, or how do we maintain that out? Because all the leases, you know, they turn over after 50 years. If you don't do improvements, you don't keep the lease. How do you keep some kind of revenue continuing from a lease site and just de facto going back to zero revenue?
Well, I don't think, however this ends up, whatever property they're on at the end of the lease, and let's say the existing building that's got another 20-ish years to go, I don't think we, the city, are going to be looking at it like we do other lease sites that, hey, you got a 40-year-old building here, it's time to rebuild, and let's upgrade this to, you know, current waterfront standards and maximize the revenue, because it's an entirely different mission. I wouldn't, in terms of the debt service, I think looking at it from the standpoint of we're taking on debt to build us a new harbor office. We currently don't have existing revenues to take care of that debt service without cutting something else, cutting in the operating budget or cutting in our meager capital budget. So we need additional revenues. Well, what's a potential additional revenue source? Well, Coast Guard lease. Just happens they're happening at the same time. I don't think you would tie the two financially together, their lease versus any kind of debt service. They're obviously related, but we're just trying to look for potential new revenue sources to help.
I agree. Yeah, it only got, it just got brought up in that context of tying it to the length of the debt service. But I would just assume to continue it.
Government's not going to do it.
No, you know, and Ron, you do have a good point. When I was with CETA and we rented a building, we could get out of our lease any day if we didn't get funded. I mean, that's, as you just stated, if the Coast Guard, for whatever reason, didn't get funded next year, they could pack up and leave.
Yeah, they can get out of that lease. They on can, X number yeah. of days' yeah. notice, they can terminate that
that's
lease.
Just, that's just part
we,
of
it. Except on defaultable items, non-payment of rent, ooh, a dollar a year.
Right.
If they can't come up with a buck a year, then we can default them. Well, I think Station Chief can probably open his wallet and take care of that pretty easily.
But I think it's, a negotiation, and it's all part of it. And I think option number one is the way to go. I'm highly in favor of that. Are you looking for a vote from us to pass this on to City Council?
Yeah, I'm looking for a recommendation.
Okay. The City Council. Would anyone want to entertain a motion? Dana?
I'd like to. I move the Harbor Advisory Board consider supporting option one to recommend it as the option the City Council pursues.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, Lynn, I have Dana made a motion. Lynn seconded it. Do I hear any discussion?
I'm confused by the word consider.
Oh, I would like to omit that word, consider. I'll say it again. Move the Harbor Advisory Board support option one to recommend it as the option the City Council pursues.
Hold on a minute. Lynn, will you...
I agree with the amendment.
Okay. So we have a motion, and we have a second. And any discussion? Alan?
Is there any way that we can pass along how much we support option one and why? I think we all feel pretty strongly that it's...
Well, I mean, hopefully the staff will put in their report, you know, these various reasons. It's continuous, it's this, and... You know, I mean, you know, we're going to improve our restroom. We're going to improve the harbor office, get a better view. These things are something that, you know, I would hope that Eric puts it in for, you know.
I feel strongly.
Yeah. No.
Tell them we really want them to do it.
On the restroom.
Well, tell them the restroom. Tell them the Friends is having a capital campaign. The Fishermen's Organization will give about $50,000 for the restrooms. You know, I mean, let's do it. You know, I'm serious. So, any other discussion? Gene?
Yeah, dealing with Coastal Commission and all waterfront master plan, I'm going to be curious to see what can actually get built down there. There's a 17-foot height limit in that area there. If you provide public benefit, you can only go maximum of 25 feet. So we'll just see how things are going to...
How tall is the Coast Guard facility right now?
I don't know. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
And we've already, we meaning the folks up at Community Development have already, because they talk to our coastal staffers 2-3 times a week on various projects, and they've already started discussions with these potentials with them and just gotten them, given them a heads up, put on their radar screen to say, hey, you know, we're pursuing this, and kind of gotten some initial input from them. And the reaction, at least as far as I can tell so far, wasn't heck no, don't even think about it. It was supportive. So
okay so
it does after all protect public access, which is the commission's no, I'm talking about the harbor office on the second floor, which is the commission's mandate.
And protects public access when that public access goes wrong.
Okay, so we have any other discussion? We have a motion on the table here, folks. Hearing none, all in favor of this motion, say aye.
Strongly aye.
Aye. Really aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, motion passes resoundly. Thank you, Eric. Okay. I hope this all goes through.
So can we go to part two? Pursuing fair market value or at least a rent. Do you want to take a position on that as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Get as much money as you can.
Okay.
Not less than 50% of fair market. That covers half the debt service.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I think if you got half the debt service, if you actually on a month-to-month lease for 5 years, you could squeeze out the debt for 5 years, and then after the 5 years, then you have that other $11,000. I mean, I think it could be done, you know, really very easily, just with a little bit of manipulation in the ledgers.
But do we agree to start at 100% fair market value negotiation? Okay.
So, Mr. Harbor Director, did you get what you were looking for, or would you like an official position?
We already
no,
did.
That's great.
No,
yeah.
Thank you.
It's totally fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you, everyone. Now, this is at the time. Do we have anything else that we'd like to declare of future agenda items that are not on it? Yeah, Ron?
What you and I spoke about very briefly before this meeting, and that's learning more, speaking for myself, learning more about the concept of the, quote, working waterfront, unquote.
Correct. Could you entertain Henry to come out and speak with us at the most convenient meeting, Eric, the next one?
Yeah.
Preferably.
Just kind of a working waterfront ABCs.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of our agenda. I think we need to start working on those and getting knowledgeable. I mean, there might even be money in the Working Waterfront Bank. I actually Googled it a little bit. It's a fairly new organization, yeah. Only been around since 2012, but they do have banks and they do have money. And I think this falls under the same thing. I think you can find the money,
yeah,
truthfully.
Yeah.
Anything else at this point? No? All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Adjourn. When are we adjourning to?
August 4th.
Nice.
2016. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Gene?
I'll make that motion.
Do I hear a second? Okay, we have Gene made a motion to adjourn. Neil seconded it. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.